Earth and Sky.
Science is more than just a body of knowledge. It's a way of finding out about the world.
You're listening to environmental scientist Ashok Gadgil with the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Gadgil is perhaps best known for his inventions, which include a UV water purifier that can provide clean, cheap water for 1,000 people a day, and an inexpensive, ultra-efficient cooking stove for families in Darfur. Ashok Gadgil spoke more about using science to improve people's lives with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Gadgil, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. My pleasure.
What are some of the biggest problems that you see that people have today, or you think that science can make a difference?
The problems that people face are very different depending on their circumstances. However, in almost every case, there may be some benefit, and in some cases, there may be enormous benefits that science could make. For example, when it comes to issues which are desperate problems for the bottom half, economically, the bottom half of humanity, problems could be very serious regarding shelter and access to safe drinking water, access to energy, and even adequate food supplies going forward. And science could make a huge difference there.
The UV waterworks that you worked on, that was several years ago, and that involved a way to disinfect water by using ultraviolet light. I understand that that currently you're working on ways to remove arsenic from drinking water in Bangladesh.
Very much so. I mean, it may be worthwhile to retouch on the UV waterworks origins. I mean, it's not something I started working on as a graduate student. I did finish my PhD in physics fine. But subsequently, there was an outbreak of cholera, a mutant strain of cholera in India. At that time, I was working on air pollution, indoor air pollution, and water disinfection was far away from my mind. But it bothered me greatly that with as much knowledge on our hands as we have with, hundreds of thousands of lifetimes of painstaking, diligent research spent by past generations of scientists and engineers, we should be able to solve a problem that's killing 2 million people every year, the problem of unsafe drinking water. And specifically, this outbreak of cholera was what spurred me to try to apply my own mind and knowledge to try to see how to solve the problem. So UV water work was done. It is now licensed by the university to a startup company in California. It is now serves more than 1 million people safe drinking water at in poor rural areas of India and Ghana and other parts of the world at a very affordable price. And that number continues to grow rapidly. With respect to arsenic, I turned my attention to that problem in about year 2000 when I realized that the largest mass poisoning in the history of mankind is now taking place in Bangladesh and surrounding areas in India, where groundwater is contaminated with huge levels of arsenic, naturally occurring arsenic. And the people there effectively have a choice of either drinking the groundwater, and they pull it up with hand pumps, and getting slowly poisoned. And the effects are horrific when you go see there. Or drinking surface water, which doesn't have arsenic, but which has lots of pathogens. And then these guys will get exposed to diarrheal pathogens and get very, very sick immediately. So, of course, they choose to get poisoned over long time rather than risk dying immediately. But it's still a horrible problem. So I turned my attention to that in the year 2000. And I have two different inventions, both of which, again, aimed right from the start at affordability. Affordability was central all along to make sure that whatever final solution, technical solution comes out, should be affordable even to people of Bangladesh so that it can go to scale.
Perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about what's called the Darfur stove. It's an inexpensive stove that you've developed recently that's four times as efficient as traditional stoves used in Sudan, Africa.
The Darfur stove story starts in about, it actually starts in about September of 2004 when I got a phone call from an officer in the USAID's Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance. He called because he knew of my work in the developing countries and wanted to see if I could do something about the extremely distressing situation of the refugee women in the Darfur camps. There are 80% of the refugees are women because men have been mostly killed. And the women get food supplied to them, raw food, which is essentially powdered grain, supplied to them by the United Nations, but have to leave the safety of the camps to search for fuel wood. And the trips are now long and hard. An average trip we found was 7 hours. And that would fetch enough fuel wood only for 2 days. So they would have to go out every other day. And while they were out there for the whole day in the hot desert looking for twigs to collect, they were being attacked in large numbers by the militia, by the Janjaweed, who would rape and mutilate them. And USAID officers wanted to know if I could do something about figuring out a way to provide them with fuel wood or fuel wood substitute that provides them at least some protection. The breakthrough came when I eventually figured out that all these people cook on what is called a three-stone fire. It's just three large stones which support a pot on which they cook. And the space under the pot or between the stones is where the fire is lit. And that got me thrilled because here I had found a weak link in the chain of causation that led eventually to humiliation and rape and social ostracization and misery. But this link was actually an extraordinarily inefficient use of fuel wood. And we designed a stove. I went back to Darfur, tested it a number of times and got feedback. There are more than 5,000 such stoves out there now in the refugee camps. But they need 400,000 stoves. So what we have is minuscule. And we are now beginning to work with Oxfam America to disseminate the stoves and to build them in Darfur itself in a way that's very low cost. So I think we can actually get a stove to a Darfur woman for about $30 all told, and it saves her beyond just the rape and the risk of rape and the humiliation and the trauma. It also saves her actual fuel, and that fuel has a monetary value because fuel is traded in the camps between those women who have a little bit more and those who need it. So you can monetize it, and the amount they save over the life, a five-year life of the stove is more than $1,000. So this looks like a very, very attractive way to proceed in terms of how much benefit it brings for what little cost.
You've been listening to Ashok Gadgil, a faculty senior scientist and deputy director at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California. In September of 2009, Dr. Gadgil received a Heinz Award from the Heinz Family Foundation for his work as an inventor and humanitarian. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.